Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Whoa, it's Ebra Laura Rosenberg on a Friday, and wow, if you get this prize, you're going to be so happy, because we have an Ebra in the Morning prize pack, which automatically qualifies you for the grand prize of a Coachella getaway to celebrate Bad Bunny, A Boogie, Burna Boy, Frank Ocean, and more. But we're automatically also going to just hook you up with tickets to the April Fool's Day Comedy Show going down at the Hulu Theater on April 1st, and some Hot 97 merch. So we got you if you want, you know, to get your hands on all these goodies. Let's play Lord Never Loses. We need two contestants to hit us up right now. 800-223-9797.
I need Evo and Shia.
I want to get drunk and smoke marijuana.
Because life is hard.
It's Evo and La Mañana. What's going on, guys? I'm looking through footage because, you know, last night streaming all over the world, well, streaming on Twitch, was a big De La Soul celebration that went down live from Webster Hall in New York. And we were just talking about some of the people, the legends that popped out. It's cool that everybody was able to see it to live stream, like if you can't be in the building.
On Twitch, or it was also on, like, on Amazon?
I'm not sure. I just caught it on Twitch.
Okay.
Like some on Twitter, everyone was talking about it, and they kept just posting links to Twitch. And so that's what I was going in and out of.
I don't know how you guys feel. I've been dealing with this thing in my advanced age of, like, feeling like this sense of obligation and guilt if I don't go to an awesome hip-hop thing.
Of course.
Like, I feel like what happened to me. Who am I now?
Right, you don't care.
But like, when I see the videos, it looks awesome. But all I can also think about is, man, that looks like it was hard to get into.
Yeah.
It was a zoo ooh out there.
Yeah, I pick and choose my battles now. Because there's a lot. But I will say, it was just really beautiful to watch the videos.
Yeah.
And to see some of the legends that came out to support. So I'll cover it in flashing lights, but it's beautiful, man. And now you can stream De La Soul's music.
That's right.
Fire.
I mean, it's such a weird, awesome, and bittersweet thing that, like, this finally happened now today. De La's music's all available. And it happens just a few weeks after Trugoy passes.
Ugh, I know. You know? When they fought so hard to be able to get their music on streaming services.
So, yeah, and I mean, maybe for them it wasn't that crazy because they were obviously in tune with where he was at. But for all of us on the outside, it's like, damn, the timing so is tough. But yeah, I'm looking at it right now on Spotify. You know, Ebro will give you the Apple Music update. But I see it. I see everything. It's all there.
So go support, man. Go support.
So cool.
Yeah, man. And introduce these records to the youngins. You know what I mean? Introduce them. Yeah. It's important. It's important. But we'll get into it a little bit more during the Flash and the Lights report. But let me see. Who we got on the line, P?
We have...
Or Shawnee. Who we got on the line?
We got Gina.
Gina.
Happy Friday.
Gina, how are you?
I'm good. How is everyone over there?
We're good. What do you do for a living?
Good. I'm a school bus driver.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Gina, with the patience, making sure everybody gets from A to B.
Well, by the way, you don't know that she's a patient bus driver. She might be the mean bus driver.
She could be smacking kids that's acting up in the back. You know what I'm saying? You're smacking them kids.
I'm a little of both.
She's like, I can't be too soft now.
That's right.
You know?
All right.
We got Rajan. Or Rajan.
Hey, what's going on?
Rajan, what up? How do you pronounce your name?
Rajan.
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 What's poppin'? What do you do for a living?
I do auto detailing.
Oh, okay. All right. Keeping everybody nice and clean and looking fresh.
Yeah, I need that.
Absolutely.
There
Laura, assuming, Shawnee, he could be the worst auto detailer there is.
Right.
Bro,
messing up people's cars.
People's cars come in looking worse than they leave worse than they got there.
I would like to think that they're fabulous people and they do great things, okay? I'm keeping it positive.
I think you're right, Laura. I think
you're right. You hope she's right.
That's right.
Gina, it's between me and Rosenberg. Who do you want to represent you today?
You, Laura. Come on, let's get this. I've been trying all week. I'm so excited.
All right, so it's me and Gina, Rajan and Rosenberg.
I got you, Rajan. I'm going to try.
All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Shawnee with the questions.
That's right.
Let's play. Laura never loses.
Never loses.
All right, here we go. All right, who will be headlining Dreamville Festival?
Laura. Peter.
Laura?
What?
That would be Drake and J. Cole. Yeah,
she was way ahead. Laura smoked you on that one. She smoked you on that one.
She was way ahead of you, bro. What is the name of McDonald's mascot?
Laura.
Rosemary.
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald. Tie game. Who just became the highest paid black actress on TV? Laura. Laura.
Zendaya.
That's facts. Who wrote the Star Spangled Banner?
Laura. Peter.
Laura.
Francis Scott Key.
Man, she's out here. Who will be playing Tinkerbell?
Laura.
Peter.
Ooh.
Laura.
Yara Shahidi.
This is true. This is true. Which movie is known for the phrase, show me the money?
Peter.
Laura.
Rosenberg.
Jerry Maguire.
That's facts. what number did Wayne Gretzky
Peter.
Wear?
Oh. 99.
This true. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Who was in trouble for beating up a sound
Peter.
Engineer?
Laura.
Rosenberg.
Travis Scott.
Oh, my God.
Wow, tie game at the buzzer.
The buzzer. Okay.
Was the greatest comeback of 2023. Wow. So far. Thus
okay.
far. All right.
Okay.
Okay. What is?
Oh my God.
Saffron.
Peter.
Laura.
Rosenberg.
Rice.
Oh my God. No.
That is incorrect.
Oh no.
It's a spice.
It is a spice.
Spice.
It's a spice on the rice.
Laura wins.
Gina,
the protector of the brand, Laura Stiles.
Yeah, that was really good, though, Rosenberg. You came back.
Oh, my God.
That was good.
He was down 4-1.
Saffron.
Congratulations, Gina. You qualify for that grand prize of a Coachella getaway. We hope you get it. To see a Boogie Burna Boy, Bad Bunny. But we're automatically hooking you up with tickets to the April Fool's comedy show on April 1st at the Hulu Theater and some Hot 97 merch, okay?
Thank you so much.
You are welcome, honey. Hold on. We're going to get some info. Woof.
Yo, on the way, flashing lights, Laura Stiles. It is De La Soul Day everywhere. The De La Soul catalog is available on Apple Music. You can get it in spatial audio so you can hear it as quality as everything else you're getting right now up to the time they re-engineered, remixed it. So we're going to be playing that heat. Plus, yes. Laura Stiles, what you working on for the flashing lights?
Well, speaking of De La Soul, Ebro, I'm going to give people a recap. Those who missed the incredible celebration of De La Soul's music that was streamed live all over the world. So we'll talk about it coming up in a flashing lights report.
7 minutes commercial free.
Non-stop hip hop.
Coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning. Woo! Hot 97.
Kill any open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Farther than the eyes can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Freer than the ocean now. Yeah, yeah. So set me free. Now I need to find release. Set me to the open sky. Now I need to free my mind.
Free your mind. It's Friday. Free your mind Friday. That's a nice ring to it. You know what I'm saying? I did that this morning when I woke up and was like on purpose late to the show. I was like, let me see what they're going to do without me. Took my time. Mad slow-mo. You guys did a great job, man. You guys are professionals.
Wait, is that free your mind, though? Was that free your mind Friday?
Now, for me, it was. I had like I had a good 45 minutes. 45 free your mind Friday. See, it has a nice ring to it.
I see what you're saying.
From the time I woke up to the time I decided to get on the air. You know what I'm saying? And then I remember this De La Soul Day, and we have Michael B. Jordan on the program, and I was like, man, let me get my old ass up in here. You know what I'm saying? And get with the people on a Friday, and the sun is shining too.
Oh, man.
Man, listen, now there's supposed to be some rain and snow and sleet and things that happen in and around the city tonight into tomorrow, but after that, late Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I'm seeing sunshine in the forecast, so we'll take it. And it ain't that cold the next few days. We're like creeping into, I mean, look, all next week is like 50s, high 40s. We'll take it. It's beautiful.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. At all, at all. There's also a new Nicki Minaj song. She's got another alter ego, ladies and gentlemen. Another one.
Who's this one?
This is Ruby. We're going to meet Red Ruby the Sleaze.
The Sleaze.
All right.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how this person differs from, what was the other person? Roman and...
And I think she has, I think Chung Li is one.
Chung Li, I don't know. I don't know.
She has a fear.
And I don't know how they all different from just the regular Nicki Minaj we all know and love.
It's a different
But we will find
character.
Out when we play the song, all right?
Yes.
Right now, Flashing Lights with Laura Styles.
Laura Styles got the 411 on the Flashing Lights. Lights, lights.
There was a big celebration for De La Soul that took place in at Webster Hall in New York, but it was streaming live everywhere. That made it also a big online party of everybody, you know, being able to like just witness the originals, which is D Nice, Tony Touch, Clark
Ooh.
Kent, and Stretch Armstrong. Just
the guys.
Yeah, just kick off the celebration. And I'm going through people's like videos from last night, and I saw that Moni Love and Queen Latifah hit the stage.
Ew.
And yeah, I saw Common come out to support. Talib Kweli. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing a bunch because, I mean, there's a lot of people on stage. They had a special moment for Red Alert. And it's just beautiful. I'm seeing some like really beautiful photos on stage. So dope.
Love it. Love it.
Wow, that's fire.
Congratulations to De La Soul. I know it's a bittersweet moment with the passing of True Goy, but it's a lot of love and a lot of celebration. And we will celebrate here at Ebro in the morning. By getting these records on like that right there. We could play that Saturday. It's Friday. We could play Saturday.
It's Friday. Yeah. Going into Saturday. But they're now, all the music is available on all streaming services. So make sure you guys support. We were telling the audience earlier, Ibra, how important it is to introduce these records to the kids.
Yeah, man. Just so, you know, you'll hear things, rhyme styles and ideas and just the whole aesthetic. You know, happened in a way that was just so important for hip hop and set the stage for so many things to come after. And it's just phenomenal music. So, Rosenberg, do we know Jay Dilla? I mean, I'm sure we would have, but do we know Jay Dilla in the same way without De La Soul?
I mean, listen, I attribute him more to Tribe than De La, but I mean, the De La thing is super important. It stakes as high as that album has a lot of Dilla influence on it. You know, the timeline's tough. Far Side is right at the beginning too. You know,
right.
But it's all in that same space.
Got it.
Groups that made us think and feel in a different way.
Well, and truth be told, there is no Tribe without De La, and there's no Far Side. Like we don't know. Like Far Side's not as eclectic and you know free wielding. Creatively, I think, you know, because De La was the first crew to do that.
Yeah, so to be dared to be different.
That
Being
is right.
Care to be judged. So dope. So, yeah, celebrating De La Soul. Go support. Go support the music. That's your Flashing Lights report. Time is 7 a.m., high of 44 degrees. Alternate parking is in effect.
Hip hop nerds, unite. Today's our day. It's De La Soul Day. The perfect clash of hip-hop nerdism and black culture. De La. Go, go. 5 days of work.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Hey, Red Ruby the Sleaze.
Like it.
I mean, look, create new personas and new alter egos and characters and things like that. Go for it, Nick. You know what I'm saying? New bags, new chart positions, new fire records. I'm here for it. I don't know the difference, though, between Nicki Minaj and Red Ruby the Sleaze.
How would you?
Well, I mean, because it's a different person.
That's right.
All right, no, Sean, I want you to expand. Shawnee said that's right. Go ahead. You have the floor.
She identifies as the Sleaze. This is what she identifies with. This is what we got to roll with.
All right. It's like choosing your pronouns. This is choosing your actual proper
name. No, stop.
Well, now I'm going to hit y'all with the button for taking it there. Both of y'all get the button. Let's just get into it.
Oh, my God. Why?
I was prepared to give myself the button for not knowing the difference.
You don't have to understand.
But that's the point. That's what I'm saying. You don't have no one. People on their Twitter, they write whatever pronoun they want to be. And that's what Ruby.
The fact that we got to pronouns while I was trying to figure out alter egos is why y'all get the button.
But pronouns and proper nouns, they're both nouns. They're right in the same family of nouns.
Nicki just has her creative characters, and that's how she raps through these personas. That's it.
And I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure it out, so I wanted y'all to give me the button because I couldn't figure it out, the difference. But
congratulations.
No, y'all took it. Y'all took the button.
Exactly.
Y'all took it. Trying to turn it into pronoun talk.
No, it's who she says she is right now.
Yeah, whatever, man. Laura, what you got on your list today on this beautiful Friday?
Just this clip that's going around. So, you know, when we watch, like, game shows and we're like, oh, so close, I could have got this. So there's a clip that's been floating around the internet of a recent guest on Wheel of Fortune. Guys, the category was food and drink. And the last line, okay, was warm toasted bagels with L.O. blank and cream cheese. Okay. So you would have been like, oh, my God, she got this.
Locked,
guys.
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe? Of course it's locked.
No, I said baby. I said baby, not maybe. I said
locked. Okay. Well, she got it wrong.
She said
with low and cheese. She chose what? W. Low and cheese. What the hell is that? What is low?
Wait.
What is low? Low and cream cheese?
Congratulations.
What you is low? Yourself.
Yo, I just love that she took a guess. She didn't know. So rather than try to throw in another letter. But that's the thing. If you have no idea, Laura, you've never heard.
No, she threw in L-O-W-E, bro.
Bro, just no L-O-W because it was only one blank space.
There's only one
blank
space.
Yeah, L-O-W, I mean.
She decided to go for it. That's the funniest part is she's pretending like that's a thing. I'd like to guess the phrase. What's the phrase? a toasted bagel with low and cream cheese.
And cream cheese.
How much money was on the line?
I'm not sure. She still ended up walking away. They're saying her name is Angie. She still won $7,300. But still, man.
So, like,
she could have won big.
So the next person was just there like, I'll take a crack at it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Yo, I don't know if y'all ever seen the clip of that one dude on there that had $1 million on the line, though, and couldn't finish it.
No.
Yep. I forget what the scenario was, but just, bro, $1 million on the line.
Yeah, I mean, it's a different type of pressure, you know, but still.
Man. Rosenberg, what you got up today, Brody, bro?
Oh, no, man. This is why you got to tune in every morning at 7:20 right here. Ebro in the morning. Laura, stop.
Let's go.
You don't know what you're going to get. You might get breaking news. I just got a tweet right now from producer Griff.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Hot off the press, baby. From TMZ. Travis Scott grabs, tosses fan's phone minutes before alleged assault also. Damn. another incident. And I know you guys see – it's the same incident, though. Let's be honest.
It's the same night. It's the same scenario.
Did you guys see the video of the injured engineer in the hospital room on some my neck and my back?
He going for the bag.
No. And by the way, I just want to be honest with you. I like Travis. I consider him a friend, a Jace. Friendly relationship. Even knowing him, if he so much as slapped me on the back too hard, I'd be in the hospital.
Yeah, y'all terrible.
Travis is a rich, terrible. Rich gentleman. That dude is in there. He's like, man, I got a tingling sensation down my back.
No! Now listen. Facts. He was like, my neck is effed up. My arm is tingling.
Yeah, by the way, he literally did say effed up to the news. He's like, man, my neck is effed up. Plus my back, I feel a tingle. You guys want to see, what's this tingle worth? About $500,000?
Yo, the illest part of the video, I think, was that he was like in the hospital in Jersey, I think it was. And the incident happened in Manhattan. So yeah, he went home.
No, by the way, remember, we got to credit DJ John's best joke of all time.
That's right.
He said, damn, Travis slapped him so hard, he went from Nebula all the way to Jersey City. Yo, but I mean, listen, God. Travis worth what, around $1 billion, Ebro? Something like that?
I have no idea what his money looking like. I need to run my Googles, but yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. The hundreds of millions for sure.
It's definitely in the hundreds of millions, man. So, yeah, just add the phone to the entire thing.
And hit the button.
And hit the button as well.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
So all that big Willie talk, hop you up, playing yourself.
Man.
You're playing yourself, you're playing yourself.
I don't play.
Yo, man, these attacks on DJs must cease, man. It's too much, Cass. The disrespect out here. The amount of times over the last several years we've had stories of artists bullying the DJ. It's not right. It's an epidemic. We'll tell you what's going on. The DJ is the backbone. The DJ is the essence of the entire culture.
Listen, disrespecting, let's not act like people yelling at the DJ and just trying to disrespect the DJ don't go back way, way, way back.
That's what I'm saying. It's an epidemic that goes back 15
years. It's like almost a part of the culture. That and the disrespect to the sound man.
Oh, no. Sound man, come on. I mean, that's, you know what that is. That goes back to Brand Nubian. People getting tossed off the stage.
But let's be super clear, and we're biased on this show because it's all DJs up here. You rappers being in your feelings about things not working out, crying and breaking equipment like little bitches, goes back a long ass way too. You rappers getting on stage being unprepared, not knowing what you're supposed to be doing, not being to the venue on time, learning and understanding the equipment so that you can get up there and sound like you know what you're doing, goes back a long time too. So you rappers being little hoes and being in your little feelings all the time, trying to fight, go back a long time too. So you
get the positivity.
Positivity.
Yo.
Positivity.
Calm down, bruh.
Positivity. Run a De La record. Straight knowledge, straight positive vibes. Thank you, De La Soul, from saving me from myself.
No, and Cass One, the DJ, will fix things and calm things down. You see?
These rappers being
hoes. Oh, there you go.
Oh, yes. Calm down. My song.
Calm it down, baby. Here we go.
Yo, man. Yo.
Let's go, man.
Shout to all the DJs. Throughout the years, wasn't afraid to smack a rapper and let him know what time it was.
Oh, Maceo's the perfect example.
My man Maceo, what's up? Hey. Ebro in the morning, Laura Stiles Rosenberg. It is De La Soul Day on the program. Also, Michael B. Jordan. Now, why is it De La Soul Day? And maybe you're like, who is De La Soul? Well, you get hit him with the button.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
I definitely met a 28-year-old, I won't say the artist, who didn't know who De La Soul was. Matter of fact, I think they were confusing De La Soul with Ab Soul. When I asked, like, yo, you familiar with De La Soul? They were like, yeah, he. I was like, what do you mean he?
No, they didn't call De La he.
Yeah, they did.
But that's why it's important that their music is on streaming services so the younger generation can experience and learn the magic of De La.
Well, And here, and here's the good and the bad of that, Laura Stiles. We live in a time where you have access to more information, I mean, at your fingertips than ever before. Yet, we are constantly inundated with dumbasses all the time who don't know ish about ish. Nothing about nothing. Literally, because they don't read or research. Or just listen and ask questions.
Or just listen. It's so easy here, too. You know how much easier it is for kids today to learn about the classics than it was for us?
Facts.
You could literally just go on your streaming service and be like, 90s hip-hop. And an hour later be like, yo, I basically know what was going on. We had to read magazines, find wherever the show was on TV. That's all you could hope for. Tape stuff endlessly.
Go to the record store. If you didn't have the money, just pick up the vinyl or the CD. Hopefully they had one that was open so you could read the credits and the samples.
Bruh.
Just to know what was in the album. Or stand in, remember standing in the record store where they had the little headphone? You didn't have money to actually buy it, but you just stood there and listened to the whole thing.
The whole album. That's it.
The whole album, bro.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
With your book bag on.
That's it. I can't afford it, but I got to hear it. I got to tell my friends I heard it.
You just nod to the next person doing the same thing. Yeah, like, oh,
you look over at them like...
Yeah, what else?
Yeah, this is hot right here. We standing staring at the wall because the headphone cord wasn't long enough for you to turn around.
Do
so
anything.
You just stood there standing at the wall.
That's all that you could do is stare at it. Man, well, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it for anything. We're blessed.
Nah, man. But to Laura's point, there are people out here who don't know. When we talking about De La Soul Day, it's a legendary, iconic, groundbreaking, trailblazing hip-hop trio from Long Island. And they put out their first project in 1989. They went on to put out 6 albums while they were signed to Tommy Boy Records, but as time changed and things went to streaming services, because they used so many samples in their music, it was tough to get all the samples cleared and get it onto the streaming services. So now, after 25 plus years, today, their entire original catalog, re-engineered, remixed in Spatial Audio, is available on Apple Music. Shout to Maceo, Pasta Noose, and RIP to Trugoy. And in a bittersweet tale, recently you may have heard us talking about the passing of one of the members of De La Soul, Plug 2, as he's known, or Dove Dave Trugoy, which Trugoy in reverse is yogurt, has passed away. And Pasta Noose, Maceo, and many others last night were celebrating at Webster Hall. Shout to Rob Markman, who was hosting, and the Originals, who was DJing, as they celebrated the life of Dave and the legacy of De La Soul. And today on the program, we'll be playing some De La Soul magical music. As you are with your children in the car on the way to school on a sunny Friday. So we'll get to that. We also have flashing lights on the way. But first, it's time to get some cash and dash. Get on the phone lines. It's time to beat the buzzer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
DJ John.
Johnny.
DJ John.
Johnny.
DJ John.
DJ John.
DJ John, when the people call right now, they don't have to be smarter than you, but they do have to be smarter than the game and beat the buzzer. How do they play the game, sir?
Well, they call up, of course, and they're going to hear a couple of numbers, which is an amount, whether it's 100, 200, 300. When you hear the number you want, you say stop before the buzzer.
So you can beat the buzzer.
You beat the buzzer. John.
Now, John, while we get this call, enlighten us on the De La Soul celebration you went to last night at Webster Hall.
Oh, last night was amazing. It felt like going to the clubs, maybe Latin Quarter, maybe the Speed, maybe Tunnel. It was that vibe walking inside. Like, you had to know somebody, you know, whether you got a ticket, you had to wait online, line wrapped around the block. It was dope. I saw Lord Jamal. His brother's a good friend of mine. I mean, it was everybody that you know in hip-hop was in that building.
Love it.
Man. It was an amazing time, man. Shout out to Rob.
People dancing, people partying.
It was dope, man.
Mm. Yeah, I saw clips too. Moni Love, Queen Latifah reunited on the stage.
No, that was so dope. That was pretty so crazy. Yeah.
Pretty. The videos are wild, man.
Looks amazing.
It was a good time.
Good time. Damn,
it was a good time. Shout out to Rob Markman, who was the host. Now, you said something about some merch that you got your hands
on. Ooh, nice merch. Just celebrating the day, you know, of last night.
And did you get anything for us?
Yeah. So
what?
Me and Laura, who love merch.
Oh, okay.
Merch. You grabbed anything?
You know what? I did. They only had 2XL. You know, they had a big size. It was one per person.
John.
It was one per person.
Oh, and now it's one per person.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining.
We got Soma. Soma on the line. Soma is ready to beat the buzzer. Soma, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Now, you know how to play the game, Soma, so you can get paid, get your cash, and dash.
Yes, I do. Listen every morning.
Here we go. Shiny Culture's got the setup for you. Pay attention close, Soma, and remember, you got to say stop nice and loud. Don't play around, okay?
Okay.
All right, Soma, we have faith in you.
I'm so nervous.
It is time for Soma to beat the buzzer.
You got this.
$450.
What?
Whoa.
$460. $470. $480. $490. $500.
Stop.
There she goes. Wow. I was like, yo.
Okay.
She playing. You was stressing me. Yeah.
What?
I was stressed.
Yo.
Soma, I was stressed.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
$500 is yours. I was like, yo, what is she waiting for?
Soma.
Oh, my God. I'm being so fast right now.
Yo, listen, Soma, wow, $500 is yours.
Nice.
You have beat the buzzer and got paid. Soma, we love you for listening. Let's get you on hold so we can get you your money, okay?
Oh, thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful one.
You have a wonderful weekend and a wonderful, wonderful day. On the way, Flashing Lights with Laura Styles.
Coming up in the Flashing Lights report, Chris Rock is back. He has a big, big, big event coming up.
Oh, yeah.
He's still in the beans. We'll talk about it next.
Yo, your next chance to beat the buzzer is happening around 8:35 after the Gurus. Michael B. Jordan is on the program after 8 o'clock. Cast One, we got some De La Soul right now for De La Soul Day.
Oh, can we?
What are we hitting them with? Hey!
Seven Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
That Parliament Funkadelic under there, man, man, oh man, that record was out of here, bro. That was a super duper smash, fam. Like a top 40 hit, first album, De La.
Let's see what I wonder what its peak position was.
Sebra in the morning, Laura Styles, Rosenberg. Happy Friday, De La Soul Day. Yo, Cash, we got to get into some of that stakes is high, too, though. That Balloon Mind State. De La is Dead album. We got, you know what I mean? We got to start digging in. Are you got any plans for us later on the show, Cash One, for De La Soul Day?
Yeah, we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it.
There it goes. I mean, well said. Way to break it down.
Yo, that's a DJ telling. Ebro just got treated like an annoying girl at the club. He was like, yeah, yeah, I got you, fam. I got you.
I got your request.
I mean, I was the annoying girl. It's like, yo, why is this dude only playing from the first album? This guy, you ain't got no De La in your Serato? Sound like it.
Actually, no one did because they, well, you know, it'd been tough to get
you
De La.
Should this morning. Came out at midnight.
Yeah, you got the clean versions? They came out? You got them? Send them to me, bro.
De La don't be cussing like that. Relax. See? Relax, bro. Relax.
If you were wondering, Ebro. Hot Rap Songs number one for me, myself, and I, and Billboard 100, it made it to 34 on the Billboard 100, which for hip hop in that day was very high.
Was big, 89. Let's go, Flashing Lights with Laura Staff.
Laura Styles got the 411 on the flashlights. Lights,
I know you're
lights.
Ready for the flashlight. And Laura Styles gonna put us on.
All right, so Chris Rock is back and he's ready to talk. He has a special that will be live stream on Netflix this Saturday night. And the Wall Street Journal reports that when he did set to prep for the event, he opened up about Will's famous slap and went right into it. So the comedy special is going to be called Selective Outrage, and it's streaming live March 4th at 10 p.m. Eastern. So
that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow night. So if you have nothing to do, there you go. You got a date.
I'm excited for this. I think this. Isn't it funny? Netflix brand is so big in our world. That, like, it's a big deal that they're doing something live for the first time, even though other streamers do it. Amazon does it. Peacock obviously does it. But the fact that Netflix is going to be live for the first time ever, it feels like something you kind of got to tune in for.
I know. I'm excited about it. I'm curious to see what he's going to say.
Laura, I saw you opening a box or something on your Instagram with a ticket and some popcorn. Yeah. What was this all about?
It was cute. It was a gift that Netflix gave me just to remind me to invite me to the event at my own house. So they just sent me a nice little beverage kit and some popcorn to watch.
It's a big ass box with a bunch of stuff in it, and the box is bigger than the stuff. You know how they love these little gift packs.
It's a very cool thing. It did serve to get me more psyched for the show. But with these companies, bro, the amount that they spend on the packaging for the thing, I, like, feel guilty ever getting rid of the packaging. I'm like, do I keep this for the rest of my life? This is the biggest popcorn box of all time.
You're the opposite. You're the opposite of me. I won't even bring it in the house. I take a picture of it down by the trash can, and then I throw it away right after.
You mean the box?
That big ass, the whole everything in it. I don't want your old ass popcorn. That's why they don't send me nothing no more.
Oh my god!
I don't want this old ass popcorn. These little raggedy glasses. Just send me a little flyer with the thing. I'm gonna watch it. It's Chris Rock.
You guys ever
put a little bottle in nice cups? I like it.
Has anyone ever witnessed hate like this before? Like, listeners, do you hear what happens? Me and Laura try to get one thing nice. Ebro takes a dump on the entire thing.
Oh wait, you got a box too? Garbage. You got a box too?
Yeah, I got a box
too. I didn't know.
I said it was cool. I was like, Laura, why is it so cool? But the box got big.
I thought you were talking about Laura's on her Instagram. I thought it was on her
And you definitely got a box too, Ebro, just sitting in your office.
Yeah, exactly. You probably got it too, you son of a... It's probably sitting there waiting for you.
And I'm going to tell you how much I hate them. I won't even give them my home address. I give them the radio station so that big-ass box don't come to my house and clutter up my house.
God.
All right, so companies, you hear, if you're considering trying to send something to the radio station to Ebro, just pack that up and send it to me and Laura.
And companies, you know what I'd rather have you do? Buy some goddamn advertising time instead of sending us a free box and getting free promo for your damn show. Buy a goddamn commercial.
This is not very Kayla Day energy.
Wow. It's not Daisy energy. I'm out of here. That's at your flashing lights report. Time is 8 a.m. High of 44 degrees. Rain this evening and alternate side parking is in effect.
Jaggedy ass popcorn. Some ticket that don't mean nothing. A glass. Get out of here. Wow.
Someone
mute him.
Yo, and speaking of things that are out and people who bought commercials, Creed 3. That's out, and Michael B. Jordan is on the program next. It's also De La Day, and the Guru's coming up. Y'all keep it locked, man. It's Ebro in the morning.
WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Hot 97.
I want to do commercials.
Do a commercial for the podcast.
Like, he wants us to do this commercial for the podcast.
Like what? Like I say, like, my name is Barack.
Yeah, my name is Danny.
And when does the show come out?
Every Wednesday.
What kind of podcast is it? What company?
I don't know. He's f***ing around.
Current events, comedy.
No, it's a hot
97 podcast.
Yes.
Hot 97. Blazing hip hop and R&B. Podcast too.
And that's the commercial.
One listen and you'll be glad to know we don't ever plan to stop. Bad Business with Barack and Daniel.
What's up? It's your girl, Billy B, straight out of Brooklyn. Check out my episode of 4 Minutes of Fire.
4 Minutes of Fire.
Okay.
New music premiered every month on the 4th.
Billy. Love. Roses are red, bitch. I'm Big Billy Blue. I be on my shit. Give a fuck about you. Watch how I move. Got these bitches confused. They can't step how I step. They can't do what I do. Riding my dick, but you ain't making payments.
4 Minutes of Fire. A Hot 97 podcast.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro in the Morning, Laura Stiles, Rosenberg. Wow, Michael B. Jordan, this guy's a big deal.
No, this is true. I want to start off like this. True friend of the show status.
Yeah.
Like, maybe more than anyone we've ever known has blown up, become the biggest star, and always comes back to see us.
I appreciate that. Thanks,
no,
man.
We appreciate that.
No, we appreciate it. Really do.
Yeah, you guys like family.
Yeah, man. And you, I mean, obviously grew up listening to the radio station from Newark, New Jersey.
Of course.
I wanna talk about that before we get into all the celeb stuff.
Let's do it.
Just because you're still very involved in Newark in as many ways as you possibly can. Family's there and the HBCU Classic that you helped put together.
Yep.
Tell us about just how important Newark is and just staying rooted to your community.
I mean, Newark made me, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's one of those things where, you know, you can evolve and grow and your career takes you all over the world, but you know, Newark is like home is where the heart is. And as much as I can get back and kind of be involved in the community and do whatever I can to help, like, you know, give cats like me an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Because I want, when you make it out, you know what I'm saying, the hood or wherever you're from and stuff like that, and you go on to do, you know, bigger things, you know, you always got to remember there's another kid like you that's looking at you, and you're the example of, like, what can be. So I just want to make sure they can always touch that and be like, all right, you know, I can still do the things that Mike might be doing. So building the HBCU tournament in Newark, doing it at the Prudential Center was super, super important to me. Just to, you know, it's been a topic of conversation of late, you know, the HBCU tournament, you know what I'm saying, the alumni, just like the whole university thing. It's been a lot of little things that are happening in football and basketball, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. But, like, really trying to figure out a way to, like, give these college students a look and, like, make it cool and make it a place where, you know, high school kids want to end up instead of going to these big Ivy League schools that, you know, don't really pour back into their community, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, just trying to find a way to, I don't know, stop that vicious circle of, like, not pouring back into your community and just trying to find a way to, like,
and, also, I think a lot of it is placing value on the community that you're from, right? A lot of times, and this is worldwide, too, I see this, where people place value on other communities, not the places that they're from. So that it's, like you said, they don't end up wanting to pour back into it because they don't value either their experience or the people who are still there, and clearly you do. So I just wanted to big that up first.
Appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Who was the first person from Newark or from North Jersey, whatever, that you remember seeing, like, they made it and they were doing something big? Do you have any recollection of that?
Probably Shaq. Shaq's from Newark. You know what I'm saying? It's probably Shaq. And then Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
The whole Flavor Unit, that whole thing was just like a moment, you know what I'm saying, for me. Like, I had an audition for a bunch of, like, her movies, like, you know, back in the day. So that was, like, one of those, you know, give back, not give backs, but, like, reach backs, you know what I'm saying, that I kind of remember at an early age. Who else we got?
Obviously, the Fugees, Lauryn Hill.
Yeah. Redman.
Redman,
of course.
Shout out to SZA, Maplewood, New Jersey.
SZA, that's right outside. Right. Is there a Newark connection, like, when y'all see each other,
like,
on the street?
Group,
like, Brooklyn?
Chat?
No, like a Brooklyn. You know, people from Brooklyn always on, so, you know. Is there a Newark connection? You see Shaq?
Y'all got a Twitter community together?
No.
Newark NJ Celebs.
That's actually a good idea. I need that. I think I'm going to start one.
NJ Celebs.
But if you see Shaq, it's on some, it's y'all know what time it is.
Always Brick City. Like, anytime he hears some, you know, nonsense or whatever, he's chatting, you good, nephew? You good? I got you. I got your back if you need it. Like, Shaq is, like, one of my OGs for sure. I mean, Kyrie, you know what I'm saying? Somebody that, like, I talk to often. Who else we got? Yeah.
There's a real J.R. Smith.
I just saw J.R. the other night at Drake show.
You said a lot of your family still lives there, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is it, like, coming back to visit? Do you ever get the promises that you'll pop up at church or, like, do people?
Yo, I'm actually the one giving the promises that I need to pop back up at my church. I really do. I feel bad. I feel guilty sometimes.
Shout them out right now. Do it. You got to shout them out.
Universal Hagen Spiritual Church in Hackensack, New Jersey. Like, I need the 180 Clay Street. I need to pop back up. I do. But every time I'm here, it's like I just don't seem to get there. But yeah, most of my family, like my mom, dad, sister, brother, they're all in L.A. now, so I moved them out that way. But a lot of cousins and a lot, you know, obviously, like, you know, childhood friends and, you know, cousins and stuff like that still. Brick City.
How what would people not understand about Michael B. Jordan's schedule? Because obviously the fitness and gym part, how much and the food and all the discipline that it takes to have the Creed physique.
I think
what is that? How much?
I think he got the weights over here. That's a little curl bar.
Years and ain't nobody touched.
Okay, cool. Sorry. Keep honest. Yeah, I stay here. Yeah.
Why you want you?
No, we good. Nah, it's a suit.
Okay. You want to break through the time for?
Nah, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, there's Killmonger physique too.
Killmonger physique.
So both require physique in different ways.
I would say the biggest misconception or whatever, you know, people that don't what they don't know is your time. My time isn't my own.
Okay.
I think you know the phrase. You make time for what you want. That's not really true. That's not what.
Because you made a time commitment to work and profession.
I mean, this movie, this run owns my time. They my schedule. Like I can only do but so much within a 24-hour time.
What is that? And what does that mean for people? I don't know what that
means. Me waking up in the morning, going to Good Morning America.
No, but meaning you signed a contract, and they're like, "Yo, you're ours for this."
Yeah, as a director of a movie, you know what I'm saying, or a project, there's a commitment to making sure this project is going to be finished from soup to nuts, from start to finish.
You're not the actor who just shows up on set.
Nah.
You have to start from before anyone gets there,
exactly,
and run all the way through the promo.
And you get what you put into the movie. Like, you know, what's your commitment? What's your obsession? I obsess over what I do. Like, you know, I want to be great. I want to evolve. I want to grow. I don't want to stay the same. So I want to continue to, like, you know, pour into it. And in order to do that, you got to put time in the gym. You can't eat what you want all the time. You got to eat what you have to eat in order to change your body, because that's going to equal to a physique that the character needs to be. That's going to equal to ticket sales. It's going to make the movie and the project much better. So when you start to break it down that granular, you know, you got to pour the time in. Like for me, staying out the streets, staying out the clubs, I'm not partying. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to get rest whenever I can. I'm trying to spend time with, you know, I got a new nephew. You know what I'm saying? I'm with my family as much as I can, because I'm always on the road. Or, you know, you think about them, but you don't, you know, you don't get a chance to talk to them as much as you can. Like that's a real part of the sacrifice of the journey that you're on when you try to be dedicated to a craft.
How many actual hours, though, to get in? Yo, listen, my man.
Come on, Jim.
When he's Adonis Creed, my man looks so crazy that I swear to God, my fiance the other day watching goes, swear to God, she was not joking. She was dead serious. She goes, is that his real body? Or is it like a... It's like they did something. Like,
hey, that's just wearing prosthetics.
She goes, he was AI. I was like, no, that's
CGI, computer generated. So your abs are computer generated.
No. I promise. It's all me. No,
so how much time is that to do that?
I don't know, man. I don't even know how to put it in the hours.
90 minutes a day.
Work out like maybe 2 to 3 times a day, depending on the day, but like maybe 5 to 6 days a week. And that's like when I can completely dedicate myself to just working out. Like this time around, it wasn't that. I had Jonathan Majors for that. Jonathan Majors' abs.
John's pause, body is crazy.
No, it's insane. It's insane.
He got and for this, yeah.
It was, you know, I needed somebody with a work ethic that was able to really be intimidating. We had to make Creed feel like an underdog this time around. Mm-hmm. And in a third movie, that's really tough to do. So you need somebody who's going to be physically imposing, you know what I'm saying, and be layered. I didn't want to... twisted a mustache, you know what I'm saying, villain type of guy. Right. I wanted a real antagonist that you felt for, that you had empathy for. I thought that was going to be important this time around.
And this is your directorial debut.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Why now for that?
I think, you know, for me, this character, this franchise is the most personal for me. You know, it's a character I played 3 times already, which is rare, you know. I grew up with Adonis over the last 9 years. You know what I mean? Like, I grew up over the last 9 years. So, you know, each movie, you're able to put a little bit more of yourself into the role. You know what I'm saying? You connect the dots a little bit. So this is the one that's probably blurred the most. Things that Adonis Creed is going through now, I've been through. I've currently gotten out
of. Oh, so you mean this is personal? Like, literally, there's things woven into this film that have a direct tie to your personal life?
1,000%. You know, and I think a lot of people can relate to these themes as well. You know what I'm saying? Anybody who, you know, who has grown, has been ambitious, that comes from where we come from. I think being Black and making it and having any type of success, there's a feeling of like survivor's guilt or imposter syndrome or you know, somebody that's trying to, you know, that you owe them something, some of your success you owe them, you know? And I think there's a, you know, there's 2 sides to every story. You know, there's a lot of gray area too. And I think this is a conversation that needed to be had between 2 best friends, 2 brothers. And so it's a lot of personal. Then we talk about a lot of stuff, parenting, you know what I'm saying? We talk about, you know, therapy, you know, toxic masculinity, talk about forgiveness, Yeah, underdog story. It's a bunch of themes. Love, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot. It's a lot.
And Sly is not in this one?
Sly's not in this movie. No.
What was the
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year?
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man. What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Was there a thought process there, or was it scheduling? What was that?
I think just to progress the franchise forward. I think the first film, you know, first of all, you know, Sly and Rocky's DNA is through this entire franchise.
Right.
You can't have these movies. Like, that underdog spirit, I think, connects the underdog in all of us. You know what I'm saying? I think what we love about these movies so much is that, you know, we see somebody that's going through hardships, that's able to kind of, you know, rise from the ashes and reach the mountaintop. And we connect with that because life's hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, it throws obstacles at you. So I feel like for us, you know, we connect with characters that can do the same, and that's what we want to do with Adonis Creed. So, like, the first movie was, you know, Adonis met this Bianca, you know, the love of his life. But that was a lot about Rocky and Apollo. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The first movie was a lot about that. The second film was really Adonis Creed trying to come out of Apollo Creed's shadow. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And kind of, like, you know, deserving, you know, being comfortable in his own skin. In the third movie of a franchise, you have to, you know, kind of, like, I want it to stand on Adonis's, you know what I'm saying, shoulders. I wanted to be, you know, I want Adonis to stand on his own 2 feet. In order to do that, we had to go back into the past, you know what I'm saying, which is why we kind of, you know, what was those transformative years, those moments, that childhood trauma that kind of shapes us as we are today. Then we pick back up present day. And I think the room for the story was really about Adonis Creed moving forward with his family, you know,
right,
and having him move forward. And that's kind of how we rolled out the story for this one.
Is in the first couple of Creeds, particularly in 2,
mm-hmm,
you and Sly having scenes together, you talked about the reality part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Him sort of training you in the film and being your voice, I thought was sort of interesting considering what the actual movie is too. Like, there has to be some relationship between the two of you, mm-hmm, that mirrors what the story is in the film in terms of this. You guys are connected now, kind of permanently in
for sure. When it comes to cinema and movies like that, yeah, well, I'm always going to be tied to Rocky and Apollo and those characters and the world that he built, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
50,
so yeah. Yeah, something, right?
I think
77. Yeah, so anyway, long time ago. Yeah, before I was born. You know what I'm saying? So I think there's always going to be that thread that's there. But, you know, in order for any franchise to have its own identity and move forward, you know, shit, you played a character 8-9 times. That's a lot. You know, characters don't do that anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I was asking her, was it 7 Rockies?
Was it 7 or 6? There was 5, Rocky 1-5 plus Rocky Balboa. Was there another one that I'm forgetting?
It's six,
right? Okay.
7, 8, yeah, this is the 9th movie.
And this is the 9th overall.
Yeah, it's 9th overall. Yeah. So it's 6 Rockies, 2 Creeds, 3 Creeds.
It's pretty amazing. Do you imagine that Adonis Creed, the character, will be sort of that character of your lifetime? That you kind of... is connected to Michael B. Jordan, the person, forever?
I think so.
And are you comfortable with that?
I am, because, you know, having a vision for, like, building out the Creed versus, I like to call it, you know what I'm saying, moving forward, I can make it what I want it to be. I think there's so many other platforms where IP and things can exist now, then it's not just one thing like back in the day, you know what I'm saying, where it's like, okay, cool, I know you for the Creed movie, I mean, for the Rocky films, and that's all it is. It's like, no, I can do a television show. I can do, you know, a graphic novel, a comic book.
Yeah,
I can do a video game.
Comic, yeah,
I can do an anime. Yeah.
Kid can grow up one day and be another thing.
And, right. and I'm planting those seeds and giving me those options as we expand, as, you know, MGM gets bought by Amazon, I start to look at the other verticals and other multi-hyphenate things that come off this IP. I have the ambition and, like, kind of like the, you know, the energy for it. So I'm building it out.
Think about all the pressure sequels have, right? Especially mm-hmm. something like this. And how I can't even wrap my head around you being a director and starring in a movie. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about how you navigated that?
I it kept me up at night a lot. I ain't gonna lie. Just the, you know, just to what's the workload going to be like? You know, like, how do I yell action and cut in a scene? How like, just those
that
little
nuances
that I'm in, you know what I'm saying? And still be present for my actors. Cause that's number one for me, is being a great scene partner and just being honest and truthful. But I think talking to, like, Denzel Washington, talking to, you know, Bradley Cooper, Jon Favreau, guys that acted and directed, you know, they kind of took that pressure off me. It was like, yo, give yourself some grace. They understand. Everybody knows what your what like the workload is. Be present. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be times that you will be watching in a scene and you can't feel guilty for it. You know what I'm saying? So I think hearing that from the greats.
Watching really, in the scene mean you're not being present. You're watching what everyone else is doing.
Meaning I'm still acting. No, you're there. But there's going to be like that 20% you're critiquing that's in your looking mind, at this yeah. thing like. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, okay, and, but you're still in it. You know right, what I mean? Right. Or like, yeah, I need you to look this way, so I'm going to move up this way on set, you know, right. or, on stage. So there's certain things, and then that becomes addictive too, because then you have like an extra superpower. You don't have to cut a scene. You don't stop the momentum, but you can start to influence, you know, performances by your performance and not from just the actor's perspective, but from the director's perspective. So that's a tool that I learned on this one. That I'll take with me for the rest of my career moving forward. So, yeah, the acting directing thing was more in your head than it is than actually doing it. But then once you get the rhythm, you start to it starts to flow. The time management is probably the biggest thing, just because you literally just you can't do everything, and you know the pressure for the first time around of having all the answers that you're not going to have was a lot. But you know. We got it done.
Do you have a right hand there next to you helps you be like, no, what you said was blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's like my first AD. You know what I'm saying? My first AD is really important. H.H. Cooper, you know what I'm saying? OG, black dude from, you know what I'm saying, Uptown. You know what I'm saying? Solid cat, been around for years. Like, he held me down on set. But then having a small, you know, my group of producers, my production company, you know, my boy Leo, who's my, you know, my creative director, but my director's assistant that really helped me out a lot. So, like, just having those soundboards around you to help, you know, keep you on track. Remember you said this or remember this idea. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, that one thing we talked about like 3 weeks ago. We need that here now. You know, all those things are super important to a director.
Yeah.
And I'm sure your relationship with, I mean, Sly directed, acted, like, I'm sure, what's that relationship like today? Do y'all still talk?
Man, he's super busy, man. He be like, he's running and gunning, doing his thing. Tulsa King shows.
Tulsa King is big, right?
And it's a little bit of that, too. Like, he's a producer on his project, so he's always around it, you know what I'm saying, as much as he wants to be around it, you know, and always welcome. You know, this is a welcome home, but... You know, people got to understand, like, everybody's professionals and they got their own thing that they're doing.
Right.
Everything isn't, you know, kumbaya and everything isn't always together at all the time. So the fact that, you know, Ryan Coogler, you know, brought me into this, you know what I mean? And he's a producer. He's been around even when he's doing Black Panther or whatnot. He, like, thank God we both were in Atlanta shooting this movie, because his presence and advice and even the sounding board when I need to kind of like, you know, ask questions about certain things was really, really helpful through the process.
Yeah, Coogler's great. So, and also just a great human being.
Mm-hmm.
Going to Wakanda Forever and creating that after the, you know, the passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a chance to talk to Coogler privately, but just would love to hear from you on how emotional that was, and just how, you know, I've heard that it brought the cast very close. Like, there's a super familial closeness with that cast that is extraordinary.
Yeah, and I'll talk to you offline about, you know, a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
but you know, it was devastating, man.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
It really makes you value time that you have, and. You know, what we did that first movie, all the records we broke, you know, just the conversation between, you know, the Black and African diaspora, you know, what that meant for the culture, you know what I'm saying? You can't put into words,
that's
you know?
Right.
And not getting a chance to have a second one, you know, and run it back, you know, for me, I selfishly, I felt cheated, you know what I'm saying? I felt, you know, like, ah, man, like robbed of like an opportunity to like, to work again with my brother,
yep.
You know what I'm saying? But it did bring everybody closer. I think that Wakanda Forever was in memory of, you know what I'm saying? An honor too, you know? It was a mourning of sorts. And
you know, and that project had its challenges. You know what I'm saying? It took way longer to shoot than it was supposed to. We had to, you know, we had to pivot and evolve and grow the story. And
plus, you had COVID going on too.
COVID as well. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of challenges that Ryan kind of had to, you know, to oversee and work through on this one, and still came out in a beautiful place, and to Chadwick's family, and you know, I think we did it the right way. I think he did it the right way.
Everybody I know, I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And I loved how it was handled, I think is what people really loved about.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was a new beginning too. It was mm-hmm. like, you know, it was bittersweet the way the movie was done.
Yep.
And tastefully done.
In regards to what people like, you know, their opinions on it, and oh, they should have did this and should have did that. Like, come on. Like, this is like one where you got to kind of look at it and be like, just getting the movie done was a miracle. Just finishing the movie on time so it can come out, you know, in a way that wasn't even after Avatar, that can come out before. Because, like, you know, you got two water films unbeknown to each other coming out.
Facts.
Like, that's a big thing that people don't even think about. That's a big part of the equation. Of like, you know, you can't be the second water film coming out. I don't have to. Cameron been down for like 9 years. Like, like, so there's a lot of things that that comes into play.
So you're positioning yourself after hearing, I mean, your directorial debut, this Creed IP, big IP talk.
Yep,
big IP talk.
When people start talking IP, you know, they looking, this is like
big picture.
30 years from now talk he's talking to us.
Yep.
He said, yep. but as a young black man in Hollywood, how does it feel? You're also working with Will Smith on the. Did I hear that on the I Am Legend?
Yeah, that script is. We're working on that too. It feels good, man. Like honestly, like I feel like I just got here. Mm. You know, I've been doing this like, you know, 24 years. You know? And it's like it.
That's back
like,
to The Wire, or pre-Wire.
That's probably like back to like Hardball.
Okay,
probably like Hardball. Cosby Show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like back in the day, like that was like the early beginnings. You know, it just now feeling like nobody's telling me no. You know,
you're just now feeling that way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just now. And I don't
so
know.
So you're green light gang. You show up like, yo, I'm thinking about doing. They're like, here, what do you need, sir?
Pretty much. It's like that. And humbly speaking, you know what I'm saying? It just
like
that,
you earned it.
Yeah.
Say no favors.
Well, and you guys did something iconic. You were a part of something iconic with Black Panther. Up until Black Panther, there was that whole conversation of black films internationally can't make money.
Exactly.
You guys are the ones that changed that
perception.
We broke
that glass. We did. And we started, and you start to see a lot of other films, you know, following that in those footsteps as they should. That's what we're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? It only took one. You know what I'm saying? Now, you know, the floodgates are kind of open. And, you know, the fortunate thing that kind of we can pull from the whole COVID pandemic thing, it was that a lot of films that probably wouldn't have got made are getting made now because there was nobody going to the movie theaters and streamers needed content. Mm. So now movies that normally wouldn't get a theatrical release because of whatever reason is now, okay, cool, it can end up on the streaming service. Okay, cool, it can end up on that platform. So now you got a lot more talent, a lot more filmmakers that are getting at-bats that now can't have the resume or the, you know what I'm saying, the look that industry be like, okay, cool, we'll give this person a shot.
Yeah, and the streaming release is meaningful.
It's 1,000%.
Not like, it's not like it used to be where it's like, well, I'm going straight to Netflix. Like, well, is that really good? No, that's not what a lot the biggest names do straight to Netflix or
it changed
HBO.
Everything. It changed everything. So I think there's a, you know, the game is constantly, the entertainment industry is constantly evolving and growing. I just think, you know, these last couple years, it put it on a fast track to evolve in a beneficial way for us, for sure.
Yo, look, man, we're proud of you, bro.
Thank you.
And we're more proud that you still find us interesting to come and schedule a sit-down, a convo.
I listen to you guys all the time, man. It's like, on the West Coast, like, I love it, man. So it's y'all.
I mean, let's be honest. We're employed because of Michael B. Jordan. Give it up to this guy.
Thank you.
You have a job.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? This interview right here is going to keep us employed. It's good for another contract.
Because they bring in a new morning show. Michael B. Jordan's not showing up.
Exactly, fam.
Nope, not at all. Never.
Now, Michael, I think that you are the only shot I have at having.
Oh, here we go.
A legitimate A-lister at my wedding.
Oh, okay. My God.
I think I would love for you to come to the wedding. And listen, if you're worried about taking up a space, I'll cut. Shawnee might be out after today's
Shawnee's
show.
Shawnee's not showing up anyway.
Oh, Shawnee might be out. They got into it today.
I heard he's talking about the carnival and stuff like that.
No. He late out of nowhere. I granted I was late, but he didn't have to say it. You know, he didn't have to say it.
But that would be wrong to replace the black guy with the black guy. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
So
Louie. I'll cut Louie.
I mean, it makes more sense.
There'll be a space for you. Okay. Cool. I won't cut anyone.
I mean, he didn't say no.
Where's the wedding?
It's here. It's here in July.
If I'm not on vacation or on set.
So basically, there's no chance. No, that's
his time is not his own.
Give it up one time, man. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no chance.
Oh, I love
vacation
you guys.
Vacation on set training. Yo.
Podcast listeners, Summer Jam Through the Years is a documentary-style podcast mini-series exploring four summer jams through four decades, hosted by me, Laura Stiles. All episodes of our first season are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. Check it out to hear stories from behind the scenes like Jay-Z and Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson!
The year Nicki Minaj refused to perform.
I know there's some chicks here waiting to sing Starships later. I'm not talking to y'all right now.
And how the show went on despite COVID and a hurricane. Subscribe now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.